by calling 866-219-3750. That's 866-219-3750. Or visit SwissAmerica.com. This war on cash is growing daily and also includes all forms of digital money. So please, get ahead, read The Secret War on Cash, free to every Robert Davi fan today by calling 866-219-3750. That's 866-219-3750. And then you'll thank me later.
Ever wondered how free-to-access social media companies make all their money? By tracking your searches, video history, and everything you click on, and then by selling your valuable data. But you don't have to give big tech websites access to your data. Choose to protect your online activity by using ExpressVPN. When you use ExpressVPN, you anonymize much of your online presence by hiding your IP address. That makes your activity more difficult to trace and sell to advertisers. What's more, ExpressVPN encrypts 100% of your data to protect you from eavesdroppers on your network. And the ExpressVPN app couldn't be easier to use. You just tap one button on your phone or computer and you're protected. Take back your online privacy at expressvpn.com/Kirk. By visiting this link, you'll get an extra 3 months of ExpressVPN service for free on a 1-year package. Again, that's expressvpn.com/Kirk. expressvpn.com/Kirk.
New Mill Medical has been telling you about their services for a while now. Here is why. They are innovators. Anytime you have an original concept, you'll have somebody come along and try to make it their own. Unfortunately, it's just a cheap imitation. Not with New Mill Medical, because they are the company that got out in front of testosterone replacement and ED treatments. They are the ones leading the way of the nation for sexual health procedures, providing tens of thousands of men in the Las Vegas area for the past 6 years with the help they need. New Mill Medical's special care starts with the first visit, and they're going to be with you every step of the way. After the first visit, you'll be comfortable and relaxed in their hands, knowing they will be guiding you through whatever you need and any issue you have. Check out New Mail Medical by going to newmailmedical.com. That's N-U-M-A-L-E medical.com. Or call 702-919-0609. Don't go see a cheap imitation. Go to the originators. New Mail Medical, 702-919-0609. 702-919-0609.
Broadcasting live from the world-famous Las Vegas Strip, AM 670 KMZQ, Las Vegas. Locally owned and operated by Kemp Broadcasting and Digital Outdoor.
Breaking news this hour from townhall.com. I'm Keith Peters. A towering statue of Confederate General Robert E. Lee in Richmond, Virginia is about to come down. Bob Agnew reports.
The 21-foot-tall bronze likeness of Lee on a horse sits atop a granite pedestal nearly twice that high in the grassy center of a traffic circle on Richmond's famed Monument Avenue. Governor Ralph Northam announced plans to take down the statue in June of last year. The plans were stalled for more than a year by a pair of lawsuits filed by residents opposed to its removal. Rulings last week by the Supreme Court of Virginia cleared the way for the statue to be taken down. Removal is planned for Wednesday. Bob Agnew reporting.
President Biden has approved major disaster declarations, greenlighting federal aid for people in 6 New Jersey counties and 5 New York counties affected by devastating flooding last week from the remnants of Hurricane Ida. At least 50 people were killed in 6 eastern states as record rainfall last Wednesday overwhelmed rivers and sewer systems. New York Governor Kathy Hochul told local officials New York State was also ready to assist.
I'm asking all of our local elected officials, tell me where the challenges are. Tell me what you know could happen in a week from now if the same weather event happened. And we will go right to those places first where the work needs to be done to help them be prepared.
President Biden is scheduled to visit New Jersey and New York City on Tuesday to survey storm damage. The storm killed at least 27 people in New Jersey and 13 in New York City. Officials in New Orleans say they're thoroughly inspecting senior living apartments in the aftermath of Hurricane Ida after finding people living in buildings without working generators, trapping residents in wheelchairs in dark, sweltering upper floors. Mayor LaToya Cantrell says 5 people died in the private building Sunday and hundreds have already been evacuated. The coroner's office is investigating whether the deaths will be attributed to the hurricane, which struck 9 days before. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Tell me why Relief Factor is so successful in lowering or eliminating pain. I'm often asked that question. Pete and Seth Talbot, the father and son founders of Relief Factor, tell me they believe our bodies were designed to heal. The doctors who formulated Relief Factor selected the four best ingredients, 100% drug-free ingredients that each help your body deal with inflammation. Order the three-week quick start now. Discount it to only $19.95 to see if it will work for you too. Call 800-500-8384. ReliefFactor.com.
Angie's List is now Angie. Whether you need help with routine maintenance or you're planning your dream renovation, Angie connects you with top local pros who can get the job done right. See reviews, compare quotes, and book hundreds of projects. Plus, when you book and pay through Angie, we'll cover your project up to the full purchase price, plus limited damage protection with our happiness guarantee. Check out Angie.com, and for more on the happiness guarantee, go to Angie.com/happiness-guarantee.
Alex and Orlando De Castroverde grew up in a hardworking Nevada family. Their mom and dad both worked as dealers, even while dad got his law degree. They built De Castroverde Law Group Personal Injury to carry on their father's legacy. When you've been injured, they understand your challenges and fight for the compensation you deserve. De Castroverde Law Group Personal Injury. Our family will fight for yours. Online at dlgteam.com or call 702-222-9999.
Conservative Nevadans, the liberal agenda in America is literally killing the American dream. It's time to fight back. I'm Sam Peters, and I'm hosting the Fight for Freedom, a campaign kickoff and conservative rally on September 14th from 7 to 9 p.m. Join like-minded freedom fighters and guest speakers at the Ahern Hotel and Convention Center. That's Tuesday, September 14th. Register at sampetersforcongress.com or on Eventbrite. Let's fight for freedom together and jumpstart the 2022 election cycle, and let's turn Nevada red again. Paid for by the committee to elect Sam Peters.
It's 3:04 at this. As your KMCQ News Flash, powered by De Castroverde Law Group. If you've been injured, their family will fight for yours. I'm Jim Dallas. Thousands of people who fled South Lake Tahoe ahead of the Calder Fire are being allowed to return home as fire crews managed to stall that fire just miles from the popular resort community. Evacuation orders for the lake were downgraded to a warning on Sunday, meaning residents could return to their homes. Mandatory evacuation orders on the Nevada side of Lake Tahoe were lifted Saturday, but Douglas County officials urged residents to remain alert. The Calder Fire began August 14th and has burned nearly 340 square miles of dense national parks and forests. The fire threat is still so widespread that the U.S. Forest Service has closed all national forests in California through at least September 17th. Las Vegas' economic recovery from COVID-19 may be underway, but the workforce that supports the state's economy is yet to experience that rebound. In July, Las Vegas had the country's highest jobless rate among major cities for the second straight month. Before the coronavirus pandemic hit in March of 2020, more than 292,000 people worked in the hospitality sector. As of last month, 70,000 of those very same jobs have yet to return.
KMCQ on-time traffic is powered by Meineke Car Care Centers.
Come in now and get up to $50 off brake pads or shoes and a lifetime warranty.
Well, traffic appears to be light. No restrictions at the moment on Interstate 15 southbound at Sahara, north at Hacienda. You're going to be maintaining freeway speeds. But bumper to bumper at the Spaghetti Bowl, 515 East at the 15 interchange and 515 West at Eastern. Stay tuned for the best of Live and Local with Kevin Wall next.
I want you to know that the movement we started is only just beginning. There's never been anything like it. The belief that a nation must serve its citizens will not dwindle, but instead only grow stronger by the day. As long as the American people hold in their hearts deep and devoted love of country, then there is nothing that this nation cannot achieve.
Check it out.
I go from this majestic place with a loyal and joyful heart, an optimistic spirit, and a supreme confidence that for our country and for our children, the best is yet to come.
It ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done.
Number one. Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Wall.
Fun lovers and truth seekers, you have come to the right place. It is live and local, and the president spoke to the nation today. We had thought it might be a prime time address. It turned out he did it during the day. Obviously, he has a curfew, and he didn't want to be up late. The president spoke. By my estimation, there were no apologies. And in fact, he doubled down on some of his campaign rhetoric about closing down the war in Afghanistan. Joining us now, very happy to have Ben Williamson on. He's a former deputy assistant to President Trump. He is currently executive director of the Freedom First PAC, and he joins us. Ben, first of all, thanks for joining us. Did you get a chance to see much of the speech?
I did, Kevin. It's good to be with you, first of all. I wish it was under better circumstances, but really happy to be back with you and good to talk to you. I did catch it. It was, like you said, seemed like it was more focused on campaign rhetoric than it was actually solving any of the problems, some of which are still ongoing. I mean, we've got Americans left behind in Afghanistan, and this administration instead seems to want to focus more on spin than they do on getting that fixed. But, you know, a disappointing speech, but that's to be expected from a president with a curfew.
One of the problems that I saw in the speech is that he wanted to look ahead. He didn't want to look back. The problem is that we're going to have to look back to see how this fiasco occurred and how we can make sure this never happens again to an American president where he just bungles his way through the entire thing.
Well, we are going to have to look back at it, Kevin. You're absolutely right. I mean, think about it. 13 dead soldiers, $60 billion worth of U.S. military equipment now in the hands of the Taliban, and we have hundreds of stranded Americans and American allies, at least that we know of, stranded behind enemy lines. I mean, this was a failure through and through. Let's not get it twisted. You're going to hear a lot of spin over the next few days from this administration about the record number that they put into an airlift, about the greatest number of rescues in American history. This was a failure. It was a failure by any stretch, and we're going to have to look back at it. There's going to need to be accountability. But so far, we haven't seen any of that from this administration. All we've seen is political spin, and it's disappointing.
I know that in the last 2 weeks, the president has tried to spin this thing that it's not a stain on America, that I talked to Angela Merkel, and I talked to Boris Johnson, I talked to all these different people, these world leaders across Western Europe, and they all say that we are still the anchor. My question is, is he listening to any of this criticism? You'd get a sense there's no reason for criticism at all.
Well, Kevin, as you mentioned, when you go to bed at 6 p.m., you may not have time to catch the news at night and maybe see what people are saying. So let's be fair to the president. But I mean, listen, our allies around the world, they're seeing what you and I see. They're seeing what your listeners see. I mean, think about it. You can go through the list of what Biden said. He said it would be an orderly transition. It wasn't. He said that there was no imminent threat to Kabul when we pulled out. There was. He said it was highly unlikely the Taliban would control Afghanistan this month. They already control Afghanistan now. He said it wouldn't be like Saigon. I argue he's actually right. It was worse than Saigon in Vietnam. And worst of all, he said we'd stay and keep all troops there until every single American got out. Well, he was wrong. And he either lied or he was seriously misinformed about his own military's plan, because we have no troops there now, and we have hundreds of American civilians that want to get out that can't get out. So this has been a disaster by any stretch. You know it, I know it, your listeners know it, and unfortunately, our allies around the world know it too, even if Biden won't admit it.
What lies ahead for Afghanistan?
I wish I knew, Kevin. I really wish I knew. I mean, unfortunately now, we don't have the intelligence resources on the ground in order to really have a great assessment. You know, I know there are a lot of differing opinions on what we should have done with Afghanistan moving forward. I happen to support where President Trump was, that we withdraw troops out of Afghanistan under a conditions-based agreement where, you know, the Taliban or be it any group that wanted to come in Afghanistan was under the impression and understanding that the United States would strike back if any kind of condition wasn't upheld. I hope that's what this administration is going to do, but I have no confidence. I mean, you look at what the State Department is saying right now, where they're talking about how the Taliban has to decide what their role in the international community will be. Kevin, they decided years ago, decades ago, what their role in the international community is going to be. They're terrorists, and we need to treat them as such and see them as such. But unfortunately, I don't think that's what this administration sees. I hope that our resources and focus will go toward getting the Americans out that needs to be the first priority. It should have been the priority months ago. But so far, they haven't been successful, and there's still hundreds of people that are stranded.
I know Tony Blinken and the SecDef and the president have all said in the last 24 hours that we're going to use diplomacy to get our 100 or 200 Americans out of there. Is diplomacy going to work? I mean, will we get these people back unharmed?
Well, they keep talking out of both sides of their mouth. You notice how they keep trying to send the message that they don't trust the Taliban, but it becomes clear every time they talk or every time they answer a question, to the extent that they even do answer questions, that so much of their plan relies on the Taliban following through with its word. But unfortunately, you know, the administration has put us in a spot where diplomacy is really the one tool we have right now, unless the president wants to get tough and start threatening retribution for a Taliban that, you know, certainly that harms any American, but also doesn't follow through on any of their promises. They seem to want to approach this with a weakness that I fear will put Americans in harm's way, because they don't seem to be able to put their money where their mouth is. They don't seem willing to back up any kind of threats that they have, they being our government. And I think the Taliban's going to notice that. I hope it doesn't come to anything that we're going to regret, but I fear we're headed down that path.
How does Afghanistan function, and who is it that's going to lead it? Is it going to be the Taliban? Is it going to be ISIS-K? Is there going to be some sort of consensus government? Who's going to run the show there?
You know, the Taliban says they're going to run the show, and the Biden administration seems to want to believe they're going to run the show. I don't know how smart that is, certainly because even if you can claim that one body is running the show over there, you already have a presence with ISIS-K over there confirmed, and you have Al-Qaeda back in the region. I mean, the President Trump was so insistent upon when he was speaking with Taliban leaders was that if we're going to sit down with you, if we're even going to have a conversation, you need to sever any and all relationships you have with Al-Qaeda. That was a key portion of our agreement that the Biden administration keeps wanting to talk about now. And they haven't done that. They're back with Al-Qaeda. Al-Qaeda clearly has a presence in Afghanistan under Taliban rule. So like it or not, they're likely going to be a player in there as well. And our military is going to have to be on guard. We're going to have to be on guard at home. And with the way the Biden administration has handled this, it's made the U.S. A less safe country today than it was even 6-7 months ago. There's no doubt about that.
Again, Ben Williamson joining us, the former deputy assistant to President Trump, the executive director of Freedom First PAC. I know today there was a run on the banks in Kabul. People, long lines around the block to try and get their money out of the banks. Financially, how does Afghanistan exist without foreign aid? And is the world going to rally around Afghanistan and start doling out money?
It certainly seems like that's what they're going to do. I mean, if you heard Jake Sullivan making the rounds on morning TV, he mentioned the possibility of giving foreign aid to the Taliban, which, unless we extract significant concessions from them, most notably getting our hostages home, that would be a huge, huge mistake. But the name of the game right now is chaos. We really don't know who's in charge over there. We don't know, even if we knew who was in charge, we don't know how long that's going to last. And like you said up front, you know, our allies see the weakness that the United States displayed on the front end and during this evacuation. And so I fear that when we come to the table next, be it with solutions or be it with a pressing problem we need to handle, I don't know that the United States seat at the table is going to be as respected as it would have been 6 months ago, 7 months ago, certainly a year ago under President Trump, thanks to this president's decision and the decisions of his military brass.
I know that we are all mourning the loss of 13 members of our military, but I want to ask you a question that I wish I could ask the former president, because I'll bet you he'd hit this one out of the park, and that is the role of the military. We have seen this so many times down through the years. Just after the 16-year anniversary of Katrina, it wasn't until the military got to New Orleans and the Gulf Coast that all of a sudden stuff started working. Can you talk a little bit about the role of the military and what a phenomenal job they did, even if their civilian leadership was lacking?
Kevin, they are the greatest people, the greatest operation that the world has ever known and will ever know, quite simply. And you're right, the president, you get him in a room and get him talking about our military, you better be prepared to pull up a chair, because he could talk for hours about the military, how much he loves them, the great job that they did under him and under previous presidents. I mean, I think in this situation, there's no organized body on earth that could have covered for the kind of mistakes that our military very effectively covered for over the last 2 to 3 weeks and really beyond. I mean, you talk about the kind of numbers we were up against with Afghanistan falling, with ISIS-K crawling throughout the region and the Taliban taking key choke points in Kabul. The idea that we could even evacuate over 100,000 people, that our military could do that, is fairly remarkable. And it's just a testament to how wonderful they are at their jobs. It's a testament to the kind of men and women we send to do these missions. But that's, like you said, that's what makes failures of leadership all the more tragic, is when you take service and effectiveness of these kinds of people that we have in the rank and file of our military, and you submit them to leadership that clearly doesn't know what they're doing. It makes it all the more tragic. It cost us 13 lives, 20 more wounded, and hundreds of civilians dead. And it's certainly not something that we hate to see happen, and we mourn. Absolutely, we do as a country.
Look in your crystal ball, Ben, because I'm dying to know what you think the next 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 5 weeks, 6 weeks will look like. And in particular, once they unleash ISIS-K, will there be a civil war in Afghanistan among the Taliban, other factions, and, of course, ISIS-K? What is it you worry that will happen here in these next few weeks?
Well, I worry there's going to be quite a bit of chaos, Kevin. We're going into the last third of fighting season toward the end of the summer in the region, so you're certainly going to have struggling factions in Afghanistan. That's something that our military leaders are going to have to wise up to and deal with. In the immediate, what we're going to have to focus on, this administration needs to be laser-light focused on getting our people out of here before things get even more chaotic than they already are. I mean, we're already getting reports of ISIS fighters, of Taliban fighters going door-to-door, hunting down Americans, whether they're American citizens with green cards or passports, or whether they're religious leaders. They're hunting them down. So we need to be completely focused on getting those folks out, getting them home, like this administration promised to do, because anytime you have a regime change like you've had now, where you have an exit that was as chaotic and rapid as we just had in Kabul, it leaves a vacuum and it leaves the door wide open for chaos. And I fear that's what's going to happen with the lack of any kind of structure or organization that's over in that region, particularly when you're at the end of a fighting season. The chaos reigns supreme.
In our final couple of minutes with Ben Williamson, the former deputy assistant to President Trump, as long as I've got you here, I got to ask you, what do you see as the future for President Trump? He's been out on the stump. He's been in Ohio. He's been in Florida. He's been different places. What do you expect from the president, and will he be a factor not just in 2022 but 2024 as well?
You and I got to stay tuned, Kevin. We might find out on the same day. No, listen, he is fired up and engaged. I think these last 3 or 4 weeks have had him as fired up as he ever has been, not only for on the failures of this administration, but real concern for the future of our country, for the future of our military, because it's clear that the leaders we have governing this country really clearly don't know what they're doing, or are clearly willing to make decisions that aren't in the best interest of the country. What I can tell you is he is staying engaged. He's regularly meeting with players that are involved at the local level, at the national level, in Congress or the House and the Senate, giving his feedback with them. He's meeting with political leaders all over the country to see what the next best steps for him are. I think people are going to be pleased with his decision. As he always says, I wish I had a heads up that I could break for you on your show right now, but he's certainly staying engaged and staying in the fight. That you can be sure of.
You are executive director of Freedom First PAC. A lot of people have probably heard of Freedom First PAC, but they don't know what it does or what it is. Can you fill in the blanks for us?
We try to send fighters to Congress, Kevin. We try to send people that are America First conservatives, that love their country, love their districts, love their constituents, to go up and put America first. My longtime boss, Mark Meadows. I was with him in the White House. One of his famous sayings is that so often you send people up to Congress and you think they got a backbone, but then once they get to D.C., you peel it back and it's more like a banana than it is a backbone of steel. And so we like to find backbones of steel, recruit those people, fund those people, and send them to Congress so that they can do the work that the people like President Trump fought so hard to advance over the years. So that's what we do. It's going well. We're seeing a tremendous energy on the ground. Your state has been particularly fired up these last few months. That's had states like North Carolina, Georgia, Virginia, you name it. So it's the ground looks good. We're going to hopefully get it done.
We have learned the hard way that elections have consequences.
Yes,
and we've got to win an election in 2022 and again in 2024 and turn this state red again. Ben, if folks want to know more about Freedom First Pact, how do they do it?
FreedomFirstPact.com, Kevin. FreedomFirstPact.com. The website is also on Mark Meadows' Facebook page if they're on Facebook. So go there, check us out, get involved if you can.
Ben, we'll have you on again. Thanks so much for your time. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, Kevin. Really appreciate it.
That's Ben Williamson, the former deputy assistant to President Trump, working in the West Wing with Mark Meadows and others, and the executive director of Freedom First PAC. Stick around. You want to hear clips from the president's speech. You were working. You didn't get a chance to hear it. Some of this stuff will make you really, really angry. We'll talk about that and a whole lot more coming up on AM 670 KMZQ.
Breaking news, newsmakers, and political heavy hitters, all before the sun comes up. The Hugh Hewitt Show, weekday mornings from 3 to 6 on AM 670 KMZQ. Talk radio done right.
I'm Sam Peters, retired military officer, Bronze Star recipient, conservative business owner, and proud American patriot. For too long, we have felt the devastating impacts of liberal elected officials, the policies they force upon us, and sadly, those citizens that just get in line, forgetting the freedoms and liberties we have as Americans. In America, we have the right, no, the responsibility, to question our elected leaders. It takes courage, but it must be done. We must have the courage to say no to mandatory vaccines, critical race theory, socialism, and the censoring of our constitutional rights. We must hold our elected officials accountable and remind them that we elected them to represent us, not rule us. As you navigate your day today, remember, do it with conservative courage, because this is your America, and liberty still matters. This message is brought to you by Sam Peters, owner of Peters Family Insurance, a local business operating with conservative courage. Call us at 702-870-4000.
A union we can count on. A union with a legacy known for hard work and getting things done. We're the ones who built this city with pride. Our members are our family, and their well-being is our number one priority. Laborers Union Local 872. Vegas strong, union proud.
Ever tried to get through airport security without an ID? Good luck with that, right? Ever filled out your tax return and handed it to a stranger who knocks on your door promising to deliver it to the IRS? Yeah, probably not. But that's exactly what Steve Sisolak has done with our elections. By refusing to ask for an ID to vote and signing a law that allows campaign workers to show up at your door and take your ballot. It's called harvesting, and it was a felony until Sisolak changed the law. Sheriff Joe Lombardo, as our next governor, will fight to change all that and to enact laws that make it impossible to steal an election. Sheriff Lombardo spent 30 years defending our rights and keeping us safe. He's exactly the conservative leader we need to shake things up in Carson City. Sheriff Joe Lombardo, Republican for governor. Paid for and authorized by Better Nevada PAC.
Are you a small business owner? Would you like to turn your social media into an important profit center? Hey, Kevin Wall here, the owner of Battleborn Radio and a longtime client of the SKC Group. The pros at the SKC Group built our corporate website, then they updated that website to make it even more productive. The SKC Group designs and manages areas of digital marketing for a wide variety of businesses. Locally owned and operated, the SKC Group provides fully integrated solutions, whether you need a company brand, graphic design projects, or an engaging mobile-friendly website. What do I like most about the SKC Group? They showed me how an increased web presence can mean more profit for my small business. And who doesn't want more profit? Let the pros at the SKC Group help you and your business. Ask for a free analysis of your current marketing strategy.